money on the table.
Artists and athletes are very similar.
The passion they have for their music or their sport is evident in the time and effort they put towards making it better. Whether it's body conditioning and learning plays, or vocal rehearsals and writing songs, all that time and effort is what earns their success. But the thing that many artists and athletes never master is business. I made a lot of money with some of the most talented individuals on the planet, but I also watched some of those same individuals miss out on opportunities because they either didn't learn the ins and outs of the business or didn't trust me to guide them through it. The first thing I did when I entered the world of professional boxing was align myself with proven champions, both in and out of the ring, so I could learn from the best. Roy Jones Jr. has become a great ally in this business. His expertise as a fighter is followed closely by his expertise as a promoter and a businessman. And although I've butted heads with Barb Arum over the years, we still built a bond and have done some great deals together. But when you're dealing with a fighter, a manager, and a promoter, it's very easy for things to get off course, and it's usually the fighter who suffers. Winky Wright was a fighter I came to manage after watching lose to Antonio Vargas. In my opinion, Winky won, but he didn't get the judge's decision. He was also grossly undervalued. At the time, the most he made for a fight was $100,000, but I knew he was worth much more. I signed him to a management deal and then immediately signed him to a joint venture with Barb Arum Top Rank and Roy Jones Square Ring. By doing a joint venture with both promotion companies, Winky had access to Roy Jones undercards and Barb Arum's reach. Overnight, Winky became a million-dollar fighter. Winky fought three bouts on Roy undercard, each time taking a small fee while delivering a win. So when we were offered a fight with Sugar Shane Mosley for $500,000, I turned it down. He'd earned a reputation as a fighter that could deliver and needed to be paid as such. In business, you set your own value by delivering. How much you're paid is determined by the choices you've made. And when you aren't being compensated for the work you put in, you make different choices. That didn't sit too well with Barb, so I convinced Roy to buy him out of Winky's contract. I knew we'd get the same fight somewhere else, but with more money. And that's exactly what we did. After Winky beat Sugar Shane, the door was open for Winky Wright versus Felix Trinidad. This was the last fight on my contract with Winky. And when he won, it was fulfilling for me to see how much he'd grown not only as a fighter, but also as a brand. But Winky didn't share my sentiment. He opted not to renew his contract with me and abandon his contract with Roy, opting instead to be represented by his longtime family attorney. A few fights later, he was set up to fight Bernard Hopkins, where he got demolished. His career never recovered. I would have never let that happen. I got the idea to put together a fight for Sugar Shane and Manny Pacquiao. This was in 2011, after Shane had already beaten Oscar De La Hoya twice. This was a good time for him.
But the reactions to the idea were mixed.